The Council on Foreign Relations is tracking 25 active conflicts around the world that pose a risk to the United States. They span five continents and cover everything from drug cartel violence to the nuclear standoff with North Korea. It's estimated that more than 65 million people are displaced by conflicts worldwide. To help resolve those conflicts, the United States is rolling out a new strategy, a little different tack, one that puts diplomats in the lead rather than the military. Overseeing it is Denise Natale, the U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Conflict and Stabilization Operations. She recently unveiled the new strategy at the East-West Center on the UH Mauna campus and talks about it with HPR's Ryan Finnerty.
The larger problem is that we have an ongoing persistence of conflict that is affecting U.S. national security interests. Despite the war on terror that has been going on for 17 years or more, we still have an uptick in ongoing instability of terrorist flows. We have threats to the homeland. We have migration flows that are undermining our national security. The obstruction of this to economic markets and global markets. So the issue of how to stabilize conflict-prone states, fragile states, failed states, or those that are prone to conflict is a national security priority for the United States for those reasons. At the same time, the United States can't respond to all conflicts. We are in a different position. This administration and the American people are no longer willing to respond everywhere without showing more effective outcomes. We have an obligation to use U.S. taxpayer dollars more effectively. So this approach is also coming from lessons learned from 17 years in Afghanistan that showed stabilization assistance was largely a failure. And that cost the U.S. taxpayer, according to the Inspector General for Afghanistan, $5 billion U.S. dollars. So these past incidences and our current need to prioritize, to be more disciplined, and how we spend U.S. taxpayer money is the way and why we have this new approach called the Stabilization Assistance Review. It does reflect this administration and President Trump's larger vision of linking our national security interests or realigning all foreign assistance to our national security interests. So stabilization is part of it, but we have to be more disciplined. And it's a hard exercise to engage in, but we have to be more disciplined in the way the United States looks at and hopes to realize our foreign policy objectives.
As you mentioned, the United States has really struggled to achieve these types of nation building or stabilization goals over the past 20 years. So what's different about this approach? What have we learned from that experience to be more effective?
That's a great question. And you said the word nation building. Stabilization is not nation building. The president has been very clear, we are very clear, that stabilization assistance is limited. We have a limited time frame. It is not open-ended. It is based on clear principles that there must be tied to clear political outcomes, that we work with partners and we hold our partners accountable, that there must be burden sharing in all regards, that there must be a clear division of labor, the State Department as the lead, USAID as a key implementer, and DOD in a supporting role. But there are very clear requisites of what qualifies for stabilization assistance, and that we are not here to be nation building, but setting conditions so that locally legitimate actors can manage violence and prevent the return of conflict. That's not the same thing as nation building.
You just mentioned DOD in a supporting role. That's a pretty fundamental change from how we've done business over the past 20 years. Why that change?
Yes. If you look at Directive 3000.05 in 2009, that's probably what you're referring to, that gave the Department of Defense a very large, almost leading role in stabilization. I can't speak for the Department of Defense, but the new directive that came out in 2018 shows a big shift in recognizing that this is essentially a political endeavor. So the Department of Defense is an essential partner. My bureau works very closely with DOD, and that's one of the reasons why I'm here. In Honolulu is to go, and I had meetings with Admiral Davidson to discuss how my bureau will continue to synchronize stabilization strategy and planning with the Department of Defense, with INDOPACOM in this arena. But DOD recognizing that this is a political endeavor, it's a State Department lead, and DOD supporting that.
What makes the State Department being in the lead a better approach than having the Defense Department in the lead?
It depends on, again, it's what recognition about what stabilization is, that stabilization is essentially a political endeavor. I should go back to say the Stabilization Assistance Review was jointly co-authored by State Department, USAID, and Department of Defense. So this was a joint document. It was approved by the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of State, and the USAID Administrator. So recognizing, and the one thing we all recognize of what stabilization is, it's political. So why State Department should be in the lead is because the State Department is a diplomatic endeavor. We take the political lead in and bringing all of these groups together. We will do this in a very scoped way. We will do this in a very disciplined way, still drawing upon the resources and expertise of our DOD and USAID partners. But we all are coming into this with the common understanding that we have to do things differently. We have to.
The report opens by saying, acknowledging that there is no appetite in the American public and amongst many of the political leaders of the nation for these types of protracted, what were formerly called nation-building projects. So how do you convince people that this is still a worthwhile investment when many of them would argue that that money could be better spent at home?
In the Congress right now, across the board, there is recognition that if there is still a consistent threat of fragile states, of the notion that this unaddressed conflict is directly affecting U.S. national security interests. So if we don't, one, we have to address this because we still have terrorist threats. We still have the instability that's bringing migration flows and creating instability for our allies and partners. You know, frustrating open markets. So the recognition across the board, think tanks in Washington, D.C., across the United States, recognizing that we have still to address these problems. These problems are affecting our national security interests. How we do it is what has to change. If we continue to do it the way that we did in the past, we haven't shown any progress. And I'll give you some indicators. The United States Institute of Peace just recently completed a report on preventing conflict in fragile states, preventative measures. And you have statistics such as 99% of the deaths from terrorism that occurred in the last 17 years occurred in fragile states. By 2030, the World Bank says more than half the world's population or more will be in areas affected by conflict. I mean, you have statistics that show that we are not moving away from conflict, but we are moving toward conflict. So we know it's there. We just have to change the way that we do it.
Is an effort like this, would it only be focused after a conflict has occurred and we're trying to stabilize an existing conflict, or can it be preventative as well? Because I'm thinking of China has the Belt and Road Initiative. They're spending money all over the world to expand influence. Can the United States do something similar?
So the large effort really is on preventative measures. We need to make sure that we put enough emphasis and get it right, whether that be root causes, whether that be, you know, targeted approaches that make sure that we're getting at the essence of the problem so that we can avoid kinetic action on the back end, right? We want to focus on the front end of stabilization, and the focus really is on preventative measures. So what does that mean by prevention and getting it right? It means like doing the kind of work that my bureau does, which is identifying in a nuanced way, data analytics, identifying where the problem is, doing deep dive research studies, going in with local partners so that they can identify the sources of, let's say, terrorism, the sources of violent extremism, and then we design programs around it. So it is very much focused on prevention.
Assistant Secretary of State Denise Natale, thanks so much for your time today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Denise Natale recently presented the government's new plan for conflict stabilization at the East-West Center in Honolulu. We'll have a link to it at hawaiipublicradio.org.